Praise God. Praise God, and it's been a joy to share this, and I believe that there will be many more sessions that we can teach on. We have been trying to squeeze about 6 weeks of revelations into 4 nights. So we have only been able to touch on what I felt is important that can open the spiritual realm to us. And as we begin, I just want to ask Pastor James to share about his child. Joanne is expecting, and the spiritual experience they had before they had the child. Yes, James.
Amen. Praise the Lord. In the year 2006, I visited Pastor in Australia and stayed with him for 1 year, and it was during then that he had the experiences in the spiritual world. And from there, I also have a little bit of understanding on the spiritual world. And because of that, some of my dreams and the vision that we experience become clearer. And, you know, before my wife conceived, we actually saw in the dream our child. And before she even conceived. And, you know, when she saw it, and after that I saw her, it was clear that it would be a daughter. Because we saw it's a her. That's one thing. And, of course, when we saw that, I realized in my heart that, okay, better not wait too long. Hallelujah. She's asking to come. And I believe the last few days, 2 to 3 days ago, Pastor did share about Ephesians 1:4, how we were created being even before here on this earth. In a sense, we were not created at our parents' womb, you know, spiritually speaking. But, you know, we existed. And so, when I saw her and when she saw her, we knew that, okay, Joanne will conceive and it would be a daughter. And so we had that confidence. And of course, today, this morning, we went to the doctor to check, and the doctor confirmed that it's a girl. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. And so, of course, we shared this after the doctor confirmed. Amen. Because sometimes dreams, as we know, interpretation could be different than what we see. But now, after experiencing this and learning about the spiritual world, it has no more been that tough or that hard anymore. And also precisely because when I understood this, I also went back to the Bible to check. And truly, the language of the Holy Spirit is dreams and visions. And the Bible did say that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. Amen. And so I believe the Holy Spirit can show you and me things concerning our life, our family, our ministry. Amen. So this is no longer, in a sense, strange or very hard for us to take it after understanding about spiritual world. And of course, when myself and Joanne, when we saw in the dream, I know this daughter of ours, I saw how she looked like. Very cute, hallelujah. And just like me, hallelujah. Amen, praise the Lord. And it helps us because in the past, if we were to see any dreams or visions, we would thought, who is she? I don't even know who is she, you know, without the understanding. And we wouldn't have known and understand without the understanding of the spiritual world and the things we saw. We wouldn't know how to interpret that dreams and that vision, you know, whether it's symbolic and literal, etc. And so I thank God that today the doctor checked and the doctor mentioned that everything is healthy, everything is perfect, hallelujah, as what we saw and knew. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. If you remember in the first session, we talked about how our spirits were not created when you were conceived in a womb. Ephesians 1 tells us that we were all created before the foundation of the world. And so before the worlds were created, the spirits were created to exist. And through predestination, each spirit has its time to come to live on this earth, the life that we have, in a sense, chosen with God, and to fulfill a purpose, and to fulfill a mission, to fulfill His will that God has for us on this earth. And in many of the... Once you understand the spiritual world, you understand that a lot of the mythologies or the things that are going on in the world, it's all twisted versions of what is the real truth. And because spirits exist before they come into the womb, some of these spirits that are about to come and God has ordained which parents to come through, they are already seeking, and they, together with your guardian angels and other angels, they are trying to seek sometimes to bring the parents together in order for them to come through, the predestined parents. And that's why some of you might have experienced that, and some others who are hearing this message all over the world might be experiencing that. You can understand it better, what's happening. And in the spiritual workbook, we give you all the scriptures. And the scriptural basis that we were created before the foundation of the world. Jeremiah 1, Jeremiah says, God told him, I knew you even before you were in the womb. Before he was in the womb. So we existed way before that as spirit beings. And then we came onto this earth and we assumed a body. And so sometimes, some of the, you know, in the English myth and legends, they have this Cupid. So you know where it comes from. Because there's no such thing as Cupid. But there's such thing as spirits wanting to come down. Through the right parents that have been chosen and predestined in order to for them to live the earthly life. So every single human being is important. And every life has a destiny. Every one of us has a destiny. Now, there are so many areas that we want to touch on tonight. Firstly, I want to make sure I cover finish some of the areas that are open-ended before we try to move into another area. So, if we can we show again page 21 of the Spiritual World Book? Page 21 on the diagram there. Of the Spiritual World Book. And while we are turning to the Spiritual World Book, we want to look at some scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says here, but we all, we unveil face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In this particular verse, the most important word inside, which involves us, is the word beholding. Because everything else happens automatically. Being transformed happens as a result. From glory to glory also happens as a consequence. So all the other things happen automatically in line. But the first step that made it happen was the word beholding. And the word beholding here is only used two times in the Greek word, in the New Testament. It's the Greek word katoptrinizomai. And it is from the root word katoptrinion, which is a Greek word for mirror. That's why they take such a long phrase to translate one word. So it's not literally beholding as in a mirror. The word beholding as in mirror came from that one word. The word mirror is not inside. The word mirror as a noun is not inside that verse. Instead, the word mirror as a verb. In other words, the noun for mirror is now converted into a verb, an action word. So, a literal translation would be mirroring. Mirroring the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed as a result. In some translations, because the English word mirroring doesn't exist, they use the word reflecting as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So that's a better English, and all the English words are in line with grammar. So that would be the closest you could have it. Reflecting as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now, over here, in the chart that we have, are what we call different levels. Here's the planet Earth, which we shade with a little bit of blue on page 21 of the Spiritual World Book. And above us, if your spirit were to leave your physical body and ascend towards God in heaven, you will pass through, and this ethereal astral sphere is supposed to surround the whole blue thing, but my drawing is not that good, so I hope my artist, when we print our book, will be able to correct that part. It's supposed to surround this whole planet Earth, and then you will go through the astral sphere. What is the ethereal astral sphere? In my book, I try to give a Christian name for it. I call it the Yetzer sphere. Because sometimes when you use words like astral sphere, people start thinking you're New Age or occultic. But remember, an English word is an English word. And we just have to define the scriptural basis of it. So, for lack of a better term, I'm stuck with the word. And just like the word meditation, it doesn't mean that it's occultic. It's found in the Bible through the word meditation. And so there is a realm called the astro-ethereal sphere or the Yetzer sphere. I call it the Yetzer realm because from the Hebrew word, because that's the sphere that is the frame for this physical world to be in. Now some of you are finding it hard to understand. This physical world that we have in James chapter 4 verse 14 says, it is like a smoke, a vapor. It might be real to us, but there's something else holding it together. And that something else holding it together is made up of that Yetzer substance or astral substance. Let me show again in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Chapter 11 verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The Yetzer or the astral sphere is just a frame. It's an invisible frame in order to contain and create this physical body. And it has to exist in the ethereal Yetzer sphere before it can exist in the physical. It's the frame. You must have the frame to hold together the physical body and manifestation. As you all know, we have touched on that. The invisible world is a real realm. The physical world is a shadow of the invisible world. The invisible is the eternal. The visible is the temporal. That's found in 2 Corinthians 4, right towards the ending. And Paul says, we look to the invisible. Perhaps we should turn to that. The more scriptures, the merrier. People like to be scriptural about everything. So do I. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It tells us here in verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen. In other words, Paul says, I don't look to the physical. Because, he says in verse 18, but at the things which are not seen. He looks at the things that are invisible. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Before God made this whole world and all creation, God exists outside of time. God exists outside of space. So God just exists. And God is love and God is light. There is no such thing as space, time, or energy as we know it. It was just God. And we need to understand, in my Foundation Truth series, which is free on the website, Volume 13, The Doctrine of God, I talk about the attributes of God. And that's the basic foundation that every Christian needs to understand, that God exists outside of time and space. Because if you ask a question, that is there something beyond God, then God is not God. So think about God as the end of what you can think the end is. Think about God existing outside of time, outside of space, outside of matter, outside of energy. Okay, that's where God exists. Then God created time, space, energy. So there's a whole universe of time, space, and energy. Now, when you have space, you have a beginning and an ending, correct? So there's time, space, and energy. So He creates the universe, many, many multitudes of galaxies, spiritual galaxies and physical galaxies, of time, space, and energy. And we exist in a universe of time, space, and energy. And now we live in a physical world of X, Y, Z, and T. Three dimensions plus a dimension of time. This is physics. We live in a tangible universe, a physical universe. And because we tend to live in a universe like that, we think in that terms. But thinking in that terms is wrong. Because we live... Remember, time is a created entity. So it can cease to exist. Space is a created entity. It can cease to exist. Energy was a created entity. So it can cease to exist. These are created things. Any created thing has a beginning and an end. And God exists outside of that. So here we are living in a created area of time, space, and energy. And we are asking, what is God like? What is that real existence like? That real existence is, we have a glimpse of it. God is love. Love is not time. Love is not space. Love is beyond energy. Now, love can contain energy. Love can transverse space. Love can be shown between creatures of time, energy, and space. But love is beyond that. Think about love. And existing in that love, that's where God exists. And every time you meditate on love, you have moved from the dimension of time, space, and energy into the eternal dimension, which God exists. So imagine, we are all a bit upside down in this universe. We think of love, peace, joy as concepts. Ethereal, unreal, invisible concepts. That people who are humanistic might not even believe in it. We think they're just concepts. But in the real invisible world, those are not the concept. Those are the real thing. It's your space, time, and energy that is a temporary thing. This is the opposite universe. And so when God created the earth and the spiritual realm, He creates, here we are on the planet earth. We have the ethereal astral sphere that we exist in. And can we move to the next diagram, which is page 31. Page 31. All right. So there is space, energy, and time dimension that we exist in. That's where we touched on last night. And we want to go further down. Let's go to the next diagram where there is, I forgot the page, but if you keep going down, I can tell you. That, we just missed that. That one. Yes, that's it. So we have here, when God spoke, let there be light, and He released the forces. Say, God say, let there be light. Time, energy, space is released. And all the various creation, various universe are all created around. And that's, I have a formula of it where we say it's T plus E plus S. That time, energy and space got created everything else. Can we go slightly lower? Okay. Slightly lower a bit. Now, it has to, in order to create a physical realm, this is an invisible realm. Everything here, up here is in a visible realm. Everything down here is in a visible realm. Remember Hebrews 11 verse 3 we read. The visible is made in the pattern, made in the pattern of the invisible. So God, in order to create the physical realm, it goes into a process which we call the ethereal astral particles. And if you read the book, it's four types of ethereal astral particles. For lack of a better word, and I did my research, for lack of a better word, I call it EFWA, which stands for Earth, Fire, Water, Air. Now, hold it a minute. I know that in many philosophers, in philosophies of the world, that they think in the Aristotle time, in the Chinese, in the Western, in the Indian, even in the Hebrew philosophy, they used to talk about everything made from earth, fire, water, air. Remember that? Sometimes they add some more things. It's in the Indian philosophy, in the Chinese philosophy, in the Hebrew philosophy, in the Greek philosophy. It's all over the world. Now, let me ask you, when does this philosophies get it from? How come they're all getting the same thing? Almost the same. Where are they getting it from? Where is their understanding? Because in the invisible realm, before you can create a physical realm, you must create it. Like, for example, we know, many of you have basic science knowledge. You know that matter is made up of molecules and atoms. You know that molecules and atoms are made up of basic components of electrons, protons and neutrons. You know all those things in science. So you go about your daily life knowing that those are the basic components. So you call electricity, you know, it's all electrons and all that. So those are the basic components of physical matter. In the astral invisible realm, the astral sphere is made up of four, if you can have a word, atoms or atomic particles, for lack of a better word. I call them earth, fire, water, air, but they are not the same as the physical earth, fire, water, air. Remember that. But through philosophies have forgotten the original wisdom that was there before the flood. Remember, the people lived hundreds of years, nearly 1,000 years before the flood. And there's a lot of wisdom that passed on. But somehow, after Noah's flood and then after the Tower of Babel, we all have a perverted understanding. And so today when people say earth, fire, water, air, they think it's the physical earth, fire, water, air, which we know from physics that's not true, because fire is just oxidation, that's all. Every element oxidizing produces a fire, right? A combustion, rather. And we know water is just H2O, hydrogen oxide. And so we know air composes of all the different gases. So we know the physics of all these things. So it's not the physical earth, fire, water, air. But let me tell you what they represent. They represent the physical four forces of physics. If any one of you has studied chemistry or physics, you know that physics have come down after a long many years to understand that the whole physical universe, all the atoms, the molecules, the quarks, the subatomic particles, the K mesons and the P mesons and all the various things are made up of four forces. Four forces. Only four. The force of gravity, electromagnetic force, the strong force is the force that binds the protons together, because proton is positive, right? So positive and positive, how did they group together? They will repel. So something is holding them. So it's called the strong force. And physics call the fourth force the weak force. The weak force is what is it explains what why like uranium decay and why why beta decay takes place. And why these elements that are radioactive are dropping off their neutrons and all their beta decay. In physics, there are only four forces. No more, no less. And they are trying to unite the forces and understand them. Isn't it strange? In the whole science of physics, there are only four forces. Now, these four forces control every physical thing, every atom, every molecule, every quark, every subatomic particle. In the astral realm, they are representation of those four forces. They are earth, fire, water, air. The earth force is likened. Now, it's not exactly the same, remember. Remember how we say that everything visible is represented as something invisible? You remember that Hebrews 11 verse 3? And then you've got also 2 Corinthians 4:18. Right, you got enough verses there. Well, the force of gravity, which brings matter together, is represented by the astral force of earth. Draw this earth particles together, the astral particles together, and the force of F of fire is represented of the electromagnetic force, which is light waves and radio waves and all the everything is under electromagnetic wave force. Water, the force of a particle, astral particle of water, is represented by the strong force, which is like getting things together, flowing. And the air particle of the astral sphere is represented by the weak force. So there is a counterpart, invisible spiritual realm force, that is causing the counterpart physical law in the realm of the physical world. And that creates, or those four energies create, is similar to also DNA. Plants, animals, and all life exist by DNA. We all know that. DNA is what produces you and me physically. It makes you what you are like. So they are also representative of the DNA of the ethereal astral life form, which is human astral form, animal astral form, plant astral form. So this astral form is the frame by which the physical forces can act and create this physical world we live in. It was a complex act of creation that got released. And then this astral realm affects the physical, became the frame for this physical to take place. And then we have we have the four forces of nature that form the particles, the atoms, the molecules, that form the elements, and then the elements form the physical DNA and all forms of physical life. So it crosses the boundary between visible and invisible. Can you see the boundary? That's where we are. Now, why am I talking in this area? This sounds like a science class tonight. It's a spiritual world. I'll explain. Science is now beginning to discover things in the spiritual world. Some of them are not even Christians. A guy by the name of Emoto, a Japanese man, discovered that when people pray, water molecules are changed. And there are no explanation. I mentioned his name, full name in my book so that you can do research on that. I've analyzed his scientific research. And he approached it from the pure scientific point of view, although he's not a believer. He found that if you write, be thankful, the words, and put it in water, the water form beautiful crystal. Then if you write the words, I hate you, and you put it in the water shows ugly forms. So he's puzzled. How can thought patterns and prayers affect water? What he discovered is this. Thought waves affect water. That's a new discovery that people still cannot comprehend. Because as I mentioned, our thoughts affect this realm. Remember what I call this realm? The Yetzer realm. If this realm is affected, it will leave a shadow and a pattern here. Can you see that? So all the time, every single thought, every single word, everything that projects from the energy of a created being, of God, produces a pattern in the astral sphere. And I purposely choose the word astral sphere because I know that my book is going to be read by non-Christians. I want them to understand that what they have, we understand, but in a more biblical way. So it's not a book just written for Christians. Because if we say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, our truth must explain everything else, correct? And they can come up with anything they want and we find this is actually what the Bible says. Because it is the truth. It should be able to correct the error. And the astral sphere is interesting. Everything that we think, that's the reason why Emoto have that, but you can't explain it, is because thoughts affect the astral sphere, and the astral sphere affects the physical sphere. And water happened to be pliable enough to have an effect visibly, tangibly measured in physics. But it's happening to every element. Every element. So he found that water can hear you. Water can hear your thoughts. Water can hear your prayer. That's astounding. And he found that you can take some water that has been hated and is horrible crystals, and you pray and you love the water, it changes. Now you know why when your mother's cooking was done in love, it tastes so much better. When love is there. Why they could use the same ingredient and use the same formula, but one cook is full of hate and anger. And it puts all the astral realm affecting all the molecules of the water, affecting all the molecules of the food and protein. And another cook cooks all the lovely Indian curries with flavor. I love my husband. I love my son. Let me cook for them. I love you. Every drop is filled with love. And it forms beautiful crystals. And when they eat it, they say, there's something different in this food. Of course there is. Now you know physically, scientifically, there also is. And that is why if your husband and wife think bad thoughts towards you, your whole being, how many percent are we of water? 80%, 90%. Your whole water is sensing the breakdown. But of course, you're stronger than that. You produce the love outwards. So, that is why people become sick too. See, imagine if you fill your life with all the bad emotions. You know the bad thing? Think about how much physical breakdown, all the distorted molecules and all those things happening in your body, and then you fall sick. Love is a powerful healing force. Love and a spirit of thankfulness will change everything. So now the next time you drink your water, take your food, now saying grace becomes very powerful. Thank you, Lord, for this food. If you've got spiritual eyes, you see the food go, I love you too. And it changed. And then when you eat it, you say, you get an extra dose of health. Besides all the vitamins, minerals, all those things that are in your food, you got the extra dose of the astral energy. Because here it is. Now, what is the astral realm? The astral realm is that which holds your form. So if your frame is affected, wouldn't the foundation start breaking? Okay, I assume that in this church building, these are weight-bearing pillars, right? There are some pillars that are for sure, there are some that are weight-bearing from the engineering point of view. Let's presume that these are weight-bearing pillars. If I start breaking down, I say, this is in the way, I cannot see the back. Let me knock this down. And in your renovation, you don't consult the engineer, you just want to do it for beauty and beauty sake. Beauty and beauty sake. And you knock down a weight-bearing pillar. Let's say, okay, let's remove this pillar, you know. And okay, you bang, and this goes down. And at first, it might look okay because there's still two more pillars left. Depends on how much weight that thing is taking. In some cases, it's instant collapse. But in other cases, it's a gradual collapse. So, the first Sunday, everyone rejoices in a lot because we got clear space. Can put more chairs right there. Second Sunday, the ceiling on that side gets a bit lower. Say, what's happening? The weight is coming down. And so, there's a slow collapse. Instant collapse. All it needs is one more pillar gone and there will be no space. Because the floor above will collapse down and crush us all. Think about your body having those weight-bearing pillars inside you. You know what's holding your body together? Your spirit. That's number one. Right? Without the spirit, the body is dead. Now, your spirit is energizing the astral frame that is holding your physical body. If your astral frame is knocked out, certain parts that hold your health, your organs, your tissues together, starts being affected, you will be sick. You will be sick. And sometimes, doctors couldn't find the reason for the sickness because we all know there's a word for it, psychosomatic. Even today, doctors are admitting that one doctor in Sydney told me that a placebo test has a psychosomatic differential of 20-30%. That's a lot. Just because of what the mind believes. Don't talk about germs and virus, which are real. So we realize here how important the astral realm is. Now let me say something else about the astral realm. Remember how the astral realm is affected by every single thought, every single word? The energy has to go somewhere. It's the law of conservation of spiritual energy. You have the law of conservation of physical energy. There's a spiritual law of conservation of spiritual energy. Every thought, every word, every feeling goes somewhere. Where does it go? It goes into this astral sphere that is absorbing it. And as it is absorbing, if let's say everything is negative, it absorbs and absorbs and absorbs. Remember, it has to come back somewhere. It has to affect back somewhere. That is why when people turn to sin, last time I couldn't explain it, now I could explain it. When people turn to sin in an entire nation, God says to the Israelites, if you sin and turn against me, instead of live for righteousness, the skies above you will be brass. You will not have enough rain. You will have famine. And all those things will happen. Remember Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, you read it from verse 1 to verse 14, all the blessings. Then from verse 15 right to the ending, all the curses. You look at them. Let me ask a scientific question based on Deuteronomy 28. How does the morality, sin or righteousness of a nation scientifically affect the world, the weather around them? Deuteronomy 28 is telling you how the nation behave morally affects their weather pattern. Isn't that what it's saying? I'm looking at it from pure science point of view. It's saying the two are connected. You disobey me, this is what will happen to the weather. You obey me, this is how the weather will be affected. Good weather. Rain in this season. And it affects other things too. It affects how people treat one another and everything else. How does it affect? I got a scientific answer for you. The astral realm. Because there's an accumulation of that negative energy over that nation as the nation starts going more negative into sin and evil. And one day it hits back. It can hit back by a natural disaster. Hit back by famines. Something has to break. That negative energy goes somewhere. It has to come back. And that's how it is all caused and linked in the astral realm. It is the frame that holds the physical world. And that's why prayers can affect the weather. Righteous living can affect the weather. Let me talk about another thing that it can affect. Sometimes, people's belief can produce an image in the astral realm that doesn't really exist. Let's say there are right now 4.5 million people in Singapore. Let's say 4 million of them believe that there is a person running around with a head like a dog, 10 feet tall, a big ghost that is haunting people. Let's say. Such things don't exist. But let's say if 4 million people believe they exist. What happens to their belief? What happens to the energy of the belief? Everyone in the street is talking about, you know, have that dog-headed ghost come after you yet. And then people start having dreams of it and wonder whether it's a real demon or a dream. Some people may even see such an image. You know what is happening? When enough people believe in a certain thing, even if it's wrong, and it's not really real in the spiritual world, it produces an image in the astral realm. Because all the energy goes there. And that image can become and behave like it is real. Because it is sucking the energy of the negative belief. It's sustaining it like a battery. And it might even begin to sap people's energy and seem to behave like a demon. But no such demon exists. But all the negative belief is sustaining that. And sometimes people may even have real visions of those things existing because it is a created energy form. Let me ask you this question. Does Donald Duck exist? He doesn't, right? The idea, the little kid said yes. Okay. Donald Duck doesn't exist. He exists only in animation, on the TV, in cartoon. And Donald Duck can exist with someone dressed up like one. But Donald Duck doesn't exist. He exists in that form. But yet, there could be hundreds of videos of Donald Duck. And his character can live on and on and on and never die. You know, you saw Donald Duck when you're a kid. Now you're a great-grandfather and you still see the same Donald Duck, never grow old. So, he doesn't exist, but it produces millions of dollars, right, for people. And his image, people sell t-shirts. So there's a whole industry built around Donald Duck. But yet, Donald Duck doesn't exist. You can see that. It affects people's life, change people's life, make people millionaires, make others paupers. So when people believe in something and create an image, that is why in countries like Thailand, once in a while people think there's a certain ghost or all that going, because it's in the culture of the people, they believe it and they even start seeing visions of it. And just because they see visions, now the astral realm can become quite real. Let me ask this another question. How do you think the magicians that confront Moses make their rods turn into snakes? It's in the Bible, correct? Moses took his rod and he threw it on the ground and it became a snake. But that one sign, the magicians who knew how to manipulate a certain level of the astral sphere, of course, they need some help from the demonic realm. They could take it, their rod, and throw it on the ground, and they also became snakes. So suddenly, before Pharaoh, there's a battle of one snake against many snakes. Thank God Moses' snake won. And from the writing of the book of Exodus, Moses' snake ate up all the other snakes, correct? There must be one powerful snake. He ate up all their snakes, and then it was no thinner, no fatter, I presume. And when he took it up, it became a rod again, and none of the magicians of Pharaoh had any more rods. So is that a parlor trick? Is that a hypnotic trick? Is that an illusion? No, the rods disappear. Eaten by Moses' snake. It's recorded in the Bible. How do you think they do it? Let me tell you. The demonic realm can also manipulate the astral sphere. Angels and the angels of God know how to affect it. And they know how to manipulate. How else do you think the fallen angels in Genesis 6 were able to manipulate and come down to live like humans and cohabit with human females in Genesis 6? They're manipulating that realm. That's why God shut them up, punished them, and sent them into darkness. Imprisoned them. Because they are angelic beings and spirit beings who know how to manipulate the astral realm. Demons, not all demons, but some of the demons know how to manipulate the realm. And that is why I always teach, when I teach the spiritual world, don't give your energy even to the negative realm. Because to what you give attention to whatever you give your attention to, that you're giving your energy and your thought. So if you spend 1 hour rebuking the devil, rebuke, guess what? You're actually giving energy there. Because your thoughts are focused for 1 whole hour on the devil. That's exactly what he wants. He takes your time, he takes your energy, he sucks all your energy, and then he could create more fear. That is why it is a very funny thing here. The more they resist, the more powerful he seems to become. Whereas another Christian say, I want nothing to do with the devil, for me, it's God and happy angels. And never seems to have any trouble, no problems. Whereas the other Christian, you know, they rebuild, yeah, they got a bit of success. Whew. And then they say, whoa, and then they get all this up and down thing, and they say, watch out, Satan can counterattack. So they believe like that, they act like that, and they got it exactly as they wanted it. And their Christian life seems so hard, the devil seems so strong. But we're talking about the same devil, right? Because the other person is just singing along and say, you know, I love the Lord, the joy of the Lord. You know, I don't see any devils. And then the other person is saying, I'm seeing devils all around. I'm fighting very hard. Why are you helping me? She's fighting her own negative astral projection. And a lot of Christians are battling that way. Because the best way you could defeat it is to turn to God and let all your energy. That's why Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your being. And all this positive energy is going up and God can work wonderful things in your life. And that's the way that we should live our Christian life. Now, here's another thing. Some of you find it hard to overcome certain areas in your own life. You know why? It's because you're fighting too hard against your own weaknesses. It's just like, let's pretend that this plastic thing is a tennis racket. If I hold this as a tennis racket, if I hold it too tight, really squeezing it, and I try to play tennis while squeezing the racket with all my strength, guess what? Most of my matches will be 15 love. Because all my energy is going into holding the racket, not hitting the ball. So I'm holding the tennis racket too tight. I cannot hold it too loose either. Because if I hold it too loose, you know, leche. And I try to hit the ball, my racket also goes flying. So in that match, also 15 love. I have to hold it exactly not too tight, not too loose. And let all my energy go to, so the racket becomes a part of my hand. And I can swing it, all my energy is hitting the ball, not hitting the racket. Not too strong, not too tight. Just nice. In the same way, when you fight your own weaknesses, you're trying to overcome the things that you want to overcome in your life. Some Christians overcompensate. Every day they're fighting. The more they fight, the more energy is there. That's going to the wrong area. And suddenly their small problem becomes this big problem. A giant. And they become worse. It torments them. Every day they spend 3 hours trying to overcome that weakness. And it's eating more. The more they give energy, the more it seems to come alive. Didn't Paul say that about sin? The more conscious he became of sin, the more sin seems to resurrect. Until he realized the real fight is
turning to Christ and say, "Thank you, Jesus." And he began to, as he began to exalt Jesus, and he began to see how much God loves you and how much Jesus has won the fight, the whole thing changes. And all your energy begins focus on the victory you have, not the loss that you should, that you could be under. Everything deals with that astral realm. Now let's go back to the picture on page 21. Page 21. And there's something in the spiritual realm that I want to show on page 21 of the book. 31, the other one up. 31, thank you. Yes, this one. Now, here's the planet Earth with the astral sphere. Now you know what the astral sphere is? It's just a frame. But that frame can be affected by our thoughts, by our beliefs, and by the beliefs of people. So let me mention this. The astral sphere is in a constant state of flux, day by day. So in Singapore, you have the community astral sphere based on all the 4.5 million people thinking and feeling right now. That is why when a group of Christians pray or begin to confess the Lord, it produced something positive up there too. Changing. Change the whole atmosphere. That's why when you move from country to country, you realize that there is this astrosphere around those areas. And that's why some of you may have gone and make trips to Thailand, you find, ooh, it's just a different place. Because you're not really confronting demons. Now, don't blame everything on the devil and demons. They are not as powerful as you made them to be. The Bible says that Jesus has destroyed the devil, Hebrews 2:14. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, He has stripped them, disarmed them. So why do they seem so powerful? Because you're giving all your astral energy to them. And so when you walk in the light, and you understand this dimension, remember what the astral sphere is like. It is just a frame formed by people. So by the authority of Christ, I saw angels, when they work in a certain place, you know how easy the astral sphere is to the spiritual realm? They just touch it and the whole thing disappears. Like a piece of ice cream melting before the sun. Because the astral sphere is just a frame, scaffolding. It keeps changing as people's things. Sometimes it seems to be very solid because people are giving energy to it. The people like batteries, giving all their energy to that belief. But they are nothing. But right now, if you go to a country, let's say, that's full of wrong beliefs, a country that believes in evil spirits and all those things, you will find in the astral realm images of all those false demons and all those things. But they are not powerful. They are only as powerful as the energy people supply. And let me show this law. This is the law of God. Demons are powerless in the physical world without the energy of the astral sphere. They actually rely on that. That's their weak point. If you understand that, you can just walk over them. That's why the Bible says in Romans 16, the God of peace will shortly crush Satan under your feet. Why the God of peace? Because love, joy, peace has no negative energy in the astral realm. When the negative energy of the astral realm comes against the positive energy of love, joy, and peace, it dissipates. Like the waves trying to come against rock, the waves just give up. Because the spiritual realm is more powerful. So the next time you sense that demon seems to be strong, you don't have to actually attack the demons because you know why? Jesus has already destroyed them. And whatever manifestations they are trying to do, if you cut them off on the astral realm, they cannot do anything. Remember, everything they try to do in the natural has to be through the astral realm. And if you could project the love of Jesus and cut down the astral realm, suddenly they seem so powerless. It's so easy, isn't it? Even the devil himself. Because they cannot do anything in the natural, they need the astral energy fed to them by humans. But if you walk with God and you know how to just cut them off, they just become, you know, they just cannot. It's like trying, it's like a ghost trying to push this wall. Shoom, their hand go through. But they need some energy in order to push it to affect you. Astral energy. When you remove that from them, shoom, disappear. They just cannot affect anything in a physical world. And if you understand that realm and you walk in God and you know how to feed energy to your positive yetzer astral realm, imagine how much energy is always surrounding you. And you begin to see all the time, release the love of God and the energy like the hedge all about you, the fire around you. Can you imagine everywhere you go, you know, you're just canceling off all the wrong astral energy and they're just powerless. Now here's the other side too. For God and angels to bring something physical to pass in our life, it also needs that positive faith energy that comes from us. I call it faith energy, but actually it's the same astral energy, but on the positive side, I call it faith energy, to make it more scriptural. He needs something from us. But that something from us is not really from us. It's that which originally came from God, energized through us in our desires that we surrender to Him, and He takes that and He causes miracles, signs and wonders to happen. Now, in this spiritual realm, understanding this astral realm, spiritual realm, let's go up to the lowest light sphere. There are many light spheres up here. Let me tell you what the spiritual world is like there. Those living on the higher sphere, let's say I put here the higher sphere, here, whether or angels or spirit beings who have gone home to be with the Lord, those living here can see down here, but here cannot see up there. Those living here, let's say the lowest light sphere, can see this intermediate sphere, but the intermediate sphere cannot see them and everyone else up there. It is like they are invisible. Why invisible? Because they are moving at a higher spiritual frequency and vibration in God, for lack of a better word. Remember, some of my words I have to choose carefully because I got no words to describe. And let's say that if I move my hands this way, my hand is now trying to cover my face, but you see, you can see my face, right? Because it's moving. But if I put my hand this way, you can't see my face. I'm not moving my hand at all. When something is on a higher frequency, it becomes invisible. For example, sound waves below 20 vibrations per second or above 20,000 vibrations per second cannot be heard by humans. We can only hear 20 to 20,000. Animals can hear above 20,000. That's why they invent those whistles. That when you blow, none of you hear anything, but your dog hears it. Because it's on a high frequency, they can hear, you can't. And just because you cannot hear doesn't mean it didn't exist. It exists, but it's beyond your ability to detect. Our eyes can only see certain frequencies. We are not able to see infrared or ultraviolet. Between that range, we can see with our physical eyes. So sometimes a butterfly or a moth looks black to you. to you and I. Say, what an ugly looking moth and butterfly. But scientists, when they analyze it with the different waves of ultraviolet or other colors above humankind, they say actually they got patterns and beauty that we cannot see. And anything beyond what we cannot see, what does your eyes tell you? Black. Grey. That's all. Our eyes interpret it as grey, black. Because you cannot see. There's nothing there. No color. What an ugly looking butterfly or moth. But actually they're very beautiful colors. If your eyes could see all the other ranges of colors. So, those who are lower spiritually cannot see those who are higher spiritually. Now, some of you are wondering, oh my God, if my wife or husband is more higher spiritually than me, we both die, we go to heaven, I can't see her or him. Hello dear, are you around? And they say yes, but you can't hear either. No, it won't be like that. Those higher can make themselves visible to the lower. But the lower needs some special glasses. Not really glasses. Or some garments to see that ramp. That's why you need to be clothed to see that ramp. And just like today, they invent those goggles to see infrared. It is not because you can see infrared. Don't say, oh, now I can see infrared. You can't. It is converting the different wavelength of infrared into images of colors that you can see. You only still can see the normal colors. It's just converting those patterns so that you could read them. And so in the same way, spiritually, those who are, that's why when some people die, or some people got out of body experience, or some people have near death experience, when they come out of their spirit, they see everything dark. And they may have one or two angels come to them, shiny, and that's all they see. And they may say, I didn't see anything, there's nothing out there. Of course, they're blind as a bat. But actually, bats are not really blind. They can actually hear very ultrasonic sounds. They may be blind, but they're not deaf. So let's put it over again. Because you're blind as a bat and deaf as a stone. It's horrible. That is why some people who are not godly, when they have out-of-body experience, they say, no, I don't see any heaven. It's right there, but they can't see. Beyond their frequency to see. And that's why some of you, which I have the experience, and just now one of the sisters was talking to me, how she had this vision, and the demons can't see her. Isn't that nice? You can give him a kick and he doesn't know it. Who did that? Because you're operating at a higher frequency. You can see him, he can't see you. Of course, you can tune down to his frequency, but you'll be very bright and he will say, ah, and run. So when you walk spiritually, now I understood some of the old visions I used to have before the spiritual world experience. And there was one particular one, which I think I shared long ago, so it's on record, and you know that I actually had that before the spiritual world, was when I was praying in tongues for long hours, and then a demon came and tried to do something. And then when I took authority, then the demon says, you're real, you're real. And he runs away. So I say, what do you mean I'm real? I'm real. So I realized that you could be operating at a higher frequency and the demons cannot really see you. They think you're not there. Then when you take authority and you came down to their level to exercise authority, they suddenly get this slam from the power of the Holy Ghost. And they run. They feel the impact of your life on them. It's wonderful, right? So it's wonderful to be in the spiritual realm. So if while talking to you, I disappear, You know what happened, just gone too far. So, it is possible that if you walk close with God like Enoch, you walk with God, you walk with God, your frequency change and change and change and adapt until He just disappeared. Got translated. Your physical body got carried too, into the higher realm. So, understand that that is happening in the spiritual realm all the time. That the higher can see the lower, but the lower cannot see the higher. And so, if you go into the spiritual realm, and your spirit travel, let's say visit this sphere, you might not see anything above that. Now, sometimes, God permits them to see the things higher. And you know what the things higher look like? Let's say those in this lowest realm, they look up here, or look up here, look up here. Let's say God permits them to see some things. Instead of seeing black, they will see this bright light. But they don't know what's in the light. They just say, oh, it's just light. But those who are living in the higher realm, they see as normal light and they see houses, trees, and mansions, and lakes, and beautiful things. But those down here, they look up here, see just light. Because you are not at a frequency to see it. You just got the frequency to detect it's there, but not the frequency to see it. That is why sometimes when angels come to you, or when you have a spiritual experience, or when you pray, some of you, when you close your eyes and you're beginning to walk in the Spirit, you close your eyes, you just sense this brightness, this light. And in you, you say, why everything is just light? Bright light here, bright light there, bright light here, bright light there. There are a lot of bright lights all over. Those are not bright lights. Those are real spiritual beings. But you're so low in your spiritual walk that everything looks like a bright light. Because everything is shining. But if you could have the spiritual level to see them, you see actual faces, eyes, and their garments, and the things they're wearing on their garments, all shining. And so the next time all you see is a bright light, remember, don't give up. You know, as we train the spiritual world, and you're opening yourself to the spiritual world, and you say, oh Jesus, how wonderful, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Thank you, Lord. And your spirit starts opening to God like a flower, and all you see is this light. A ball of light. Don't give up. Keep on worshipping God, and soon that light becomes more detailed. And you can see the image. You can see the face. You can see all those wonderful garments that are there as you get adjusted to the light. It's just like if you'll be in a dark place all the time, and suddenly I bring you to a room and turn on a bright light, for a moment you're stunned. You can't see anything but light. So your eyes adjust. Except that takes sometimes longer in the spiritual realm. And sometimes those on the higher realm, let's say the highest circle here on page 21, the higher realm, visit those, let's say, on the lowest realm. There are also crowns, garments, or things that God has blessed and these higher beings, let's say Jesus, okay? When He appeared to us, some people see Jesus almost like a man because Jesus come right down to this level and they can only see what is visible. But let's say Jesus take you higher and higher and higher, give you a garment to cloth higher and higher, you suddenly begin to see, hey Jesus, you have a crown. Oh Jesus, you got jewels on your crown as you go higher. But actually, all the time the crown was there. But as He comes down, it becomes invisible. Because it's beyond the visibility of those lower. But it's always there. That is why when the higher sphere comes right down to the lowest, even let's say to the planet Earth, sometimes you see angels as almost human. You know, their skin even looks human and everything. It's because That's only what you could see. As you travel up with them, you begin to see their real glory. That was actually on them all the time, but it's a different light frequency, so you cannot see it. So the next time, you know, Jesus looks very human to you, realize He's only covering a part of His glory so that you can be visible. If you let it all go, you know, you go, ah! And next moment you wake up in heaven, because when you see His full glory, you die. Your famous last words, ah! And you're in heaven. So all the time, and I've seen it, sometimes, you know, I meet with angels and they teach, or they visit, or visions of them. And when you understand the realm, you understand that what you see is not all that there is. They could be clothed with things. They may be carrying spiritual weapons that you cannot see, because they're on a higher frequency. And so understand this change as you go from sphere to sphere in the spiritual realm. And I need to go to page 31 on this. I need to complete that part before I touch on something new. Now, all these things we're supposed to try to finish to cover. So page 31, right, we touched on that yesterday, and we talked about how this realm of the emotions, your ability to receive, intellect, ability to perceive, and your will, ability to conceive and transmit its energy of God. And I talk about how when you walk with God, you can actually, your will is a release of power, free choice. Let me give an example right now. For example, God's will is ruling over our entire earth. The book of Hebrews tells us that everything, God is waiting till everything is subjected to Jesus. So Jesus is risen, and when all authority, all power is subject to Jesus, then Jesus yields everything to God the Father. And everything that will be shaken under every knee bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So there's an invisible pressure right now causing the will of God to happen. It's happening right now. And the will of God for every single human being, 6 billion human beings on earth, the will of God for every nation, everything is being pressed. There is an invisible force right now shaking until everything is lined with God's will. So let me, for example, illustrate with a smaller scale. When you battle and fight in the spiritual realm, you don't have to struggle. It is not your strength, your energy that you fight with. You are merely a receiver and a transmitter of God's power. Not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. Not by your own might, not by your own power, but by His Spirit. So when you learn to walk in that realm, Christian life is not a struggle. It is just a reflection and absorption, reflection, refraction, and transmission of God's power through you. You are only a vessel. Read John 15. He is the vine, we are the branches. We produce the fruit, but the fruit is produced from His energy, His sustenance. We don't have to go and draw out all the nourishment. The vine does that for us. We just have to make sure we're connected to the vine, draw all the energy from the vine, and produce the fruit. So, you know, you could be a happy little branch, singing, abiding in the vine. And all you do is abiding in the vine. Jesus says, abide in me, and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Have you ever gone to, you know, some of these trees that you all grow all over the estates, or go to a rambutan tree or a durian tree, you love durian. and listen very carefully whether the durian branch is struggling to grow a durian. You don't hear the branch struggling? You don't hear them trying to grow a durian? They just grow. There's no struggle. It's a yielding. Let me talk about how to yield, because it's very important. Let's say right now, I mean, we don't have to fight demons and all that. The battle is done. So, for example, I extend my will. See, the power of the will is where the energy force is. When we all, let's say right now, go into the spiritual world right now. Let's say we finish our life, we go to the spiritual world, and right now this is a spiritual world class in the spiritual world. I will be teaching you how to use your will to project your will as an energy force. And so what we're teaching down here is the use of the powers of the age to come down here and how it operates. Because it's a powerful force. So in the spiritual world, let's say if demons are rushing at you, you don't have to go, you know. So let me ask you this question. You read in the Bible in Revelations how Michael and Satan fought and Satan was thrown down to the ground. How do you imagine angels fight? So some of you with wild imagination, watch too many Star Wars. See, you know, Michael the Archangel has his lightsaber. Satan has his lightsaber. And you notice the bad guys aren't always red color. And so, you know, Luke Skywalker, or the good guy will have the lightsaber, or Michael the Archangel in this case, and he goes, you know, the only thing you don't have is, I am your father. Okay, so it's a different story. Okay, so let's say you finish the fight, and then you kick the devil down to the earth. Do you think that's actually what happened? Don't you know that right now he has the power to throw him down? He's just waiting for God to say, do it now. I mean, he doesn't have to do that. Or some of you watch too many kung fu movies. And you go, king, king, yak. And then you go, I don't know how to do it. I don't know why they always do that. You know, chop off their finger. And then he fights and then he throws the devil. Do you think that's really how angels fight? What kind of Christianity do we have that teaches the angels wrestle? You know? Or what is the wrestling term? And the wrestler, like sumo wrestler, pushing each other out of the circle. You know? Imagine an overweight Michael dressed in that loincloth, you know? No! How do we imagine angels fight? Let me tell you how they fight in the spiritual world. Michael, the archangel, just have to shwing, choo. That's it. I have seen angels with one glance of their eye could stop a million demons. Not even talking about Jesus yet. I'm talking about one of his little lieutenants. You don't know how much power there is in the spiritual realm. All the angel had to do is just look and zoom, all the demons say, and they go down into darkness. There is no lightsaber, no sumo wrestling, none of those things. So how do we project that power? All they do is they will it. They will it to be. Their will is lined up with God and they will it. And it's done. With one glance of their thought, that's it. Now that's only the small lieutenants. From God, remember how just one word from God, that's it. powerful. God just said, let there be light. That's it. Think about that kind of power. He doesn't need to even raise his finger. Jesus just opened his mouth before he said what? And the Antichrist all got consumed. You read it in the Bible. With the light from his mouth. The breath of his mouth. You read it in the Bible, right? The breath of his mouth. Because don't overdo on the other wrong side. You know, not because God has bad breath. Because, the devil thinks that. It's more a laser beam. It's light. Even before he could say a word. Like right now, I could be here in Singapore. I extend my will to cover my family. My daughter in Adelaide is close. So if demons try to come near, they will say, what's this force field around my daughter, around my son, around my wife? And they try to come to them, pong, hey, what's this? My will says, you shall not come near. And it's established. That's all you have to do. There is no, oh God, please protect them. Oh God, please. You want to be like Job. Lord, no, 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 my son has sinned, my family has sinned, this has sinned. Please accept this sacrifice because they may have done all these naughty things. Oh God, please, please. Remember what I said about astral energy? All the negative astral energy? And then when it happened, what happened? The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. So all those things happened. He greatly feared. His prayer was based on fear. His sacrifice was based on fear. Not on faith. It's releasing a tremendous negative astral energy. And it was only by God's grace that the devil has a hedge that couldn't touch Job. And it was a sad thing to, you know, see all those things happen. So I'm going to talk on how to extend your will. And for example, if you understand your authority, your dunamis and your exousia authority, let's say as a pastor and a leader, you could extend it just by releasing it inside your heart, in your spirit, and you extend it around every church member, and you protect them by your authority. Now, one or two of them can still, by their free will, you know, say, oh, devil, come in, devil, come in, devil. You know, so, the devil will poke one tiny hole just to chew them, and then that's it. But that's their individual free will. But if their normal walk, you extend your covering over them. Now, you cannot violate another person's free will. That's a law. But under normal circumstances, one in authority can extend their protection and shield above another, over another. And that is why, as spiritual leaders, it's important for us to extend our covering of love to people. And if we ourselves are frightened, we open a wide door for everybody else in the church to be affected. How important. Have you noticed? Every sheep takes after their shepherd. The shepherd is fearful in some area, all the sheep are fearful. Takes after the same nature. And it's important for us to learn to expand that covering. And that's why when people get touched by our ministry, we extend our covering to cover them. And that's why there's such a thing as the grace on the ministry, the blessing on the ministry. So when people contact that ministry that extends their covering, they feel that extra measure of grace flowing into their lives. This is a ministry of blessing and grace. So, we can teach about how to extend this covering for additional tips. Okay. We'll leave you hanging. Are you going to talk about that tonight? I think we should. Should we? No, we should. Alright. How to extend this covering. Anyway, go. Now, I'm going to give some biblical perspective. Remember when the devil wanted to attack Peter? And Jesus said to Peter, it's in the Gospel of Luke, and says, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. He says, Satan wants to do this to you. And why is it that when Satan wants to attack Peter, he has to come to Jesus and ask for permission? Why? Because Jesus has extended his covering over his disciples. And Satan tries to go to them, bang, 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 bang. He's knocking his head on the force field. Until Satan has come to Jesus and says, look, he has this fear or this thing that's still in his life. There's an open door. I desire, please, can I test him? And Jesus being God, free will, might have said, yes, just for a moment, but no more or less. And I am doing this only because there's an open door. Otherwise, I'm extra covering him with grace. But Jesus told Peter, I have prayed for you. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And with every temptation, God has provided a way of escape. That's taken from the book of 1 Corinthians. That's taken from the book of Corinthians. And chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. With the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, now that we are all, when we talk about individual extending of the will, let me talk about the main one first. We are all, when you're born again, under the protection of Jesus. He extends his will over us when you're in a new covenant. So there's a grace that covers us. As long as we, by our own free will, don't go and uncover ourselves, that grace covers us. And as long as you walk in his will, now, God would still have to allow us to fight our mini battles and learn to exercise our will so that we can become like him. It is just like you have to allow your children to do their own maths problem. Otherwise, how are they going to be mathematicians like you? Right? You cannot do all their homework. You know, like kindergarten, do all their homework, do all their coloring. Then they grow up, you know, they learn 1, 2, 3, you do all their 1, 2, 3 maths problem. Then they grow up, they learn algebra, you do all their algebra problem. And then they grow up higher in the secondary school, you do all their calculus problem. Let's assume you could do that. And then they go to university, you do all their paper for them. That dummy of a child of yours has learned nothing. Because you have never allowed them to do anything. Because, you know, no child is a dummy. Because every child of God is beautiful, smart, wise, potential in God. So God has to allow us. You know the only reason he allowed you to be tempted, tested, and tried? So that you could taste of the glory of putting your neck on the devil's, your feet on your devil's neck. You remember the story of Joshua when he fought and he conquered all the kings? He got all his generals and he says, put your foot over the king's neck. You look at that story, you'll find that story, right? Because he wanted them to feel the boldness and authority. Symbolically, that is when God allows you. So some of you, you know, don't be scared when, you know, God has trained you and already and got released. Remember who sent Jesus to the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. So Jesus walked into the wilderness boldly to face the devil. So all of you may have your wilderness experience when you're ready. The Holy Spirit drive you there. In some versions, in Mark 1, it says, the Holy Spirit drove Jesus. Right? If you're a bit more imaginative, you see the Holy Spirit come, you know, in a Ford car, they get in Jesus. Okay, here's where he get off. He drove him there. No, that's not how he drove him. He drove him by telling him how to go, and there's a propulsion to go into the wilderness. Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. For some of us, your angels or your Holy Spirit drive you to your little, tiny little wilderness. He didn't even ask you to fast 40 days, 40 nights. Just a little bit. And then you got off from your chariot and you go, kia, kia. Kia, 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 su, kia, si. All frightened, frightened, frightened. Right? Jesus, why you abandoned me? Why you let me down here? There are wild beasts, tigers, snakes. Help, Lord. And you're so angry. You forgot that He let you there so that you have a chance to experience the victory He has. And He knew you were able, but you didn't know you were able. And so He was just giving you a chance. So the next time you have a battle to fight, whatever, it is not because you're losing. Remember, with every temptation, He's provided a way of escape. Some of you imagine escape means escape from. Sorry. Escape here means escape through the wilderness. He didn't save you from the lion's den. He saved you through the lion's den. He won't take you from the lion's den until you learn to take that lion whom the angels have closed their mouth, put it down and use him as a pillow. Take another lion and use him as a blanket. He will save you through the lion's den, not from the lion's den. Now, how do we extend that will? Individually, Jesus has extended His will over us. We individually learn to extend the will. The whole secret is in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. Remember the words that we have called katoptrinezomai, which means reflect as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now how you do it is by, if I can use these words, it is the power of reflection. But sometimes it's the power of refraction. Now reflection is when the light is bouncing off a mirror. That's reflection. Refraction is when the light goes through a piece of glass or crystal and comes out in another direction. Okay? So, I would add beside reflection is refraction and reflection to you of the power of God. You are the branch, He is the vine. And here is how you extend your will. Let me give you an example. It's like the moon or a piece of mirror. And any lady got any mirrors here or something shiny? You don't have, doesn't matter. Or metallic thing, shiny, shiny. Okay, that will do. Thank you. Shiny little mobile. Hope it, okay. So now there's a shining part on this mobile. And I could, remember, katoptrinezomai. So we are just mirroring the glory of the Lord. Now the mirror can take the light and it can focus it on any place. Correct? When it reflects. When the moon, let's say this is like a moon and it reflects, so this is a bit shiny and it reflects. This is a nice light to reflect it out from. Okay? And, I'm trying to get, there it is. Can you see the reflection going around on the floor? Now I'm reflecting it under the offering box. And, can reflect it anywhere. Can reflect it Pastor James' eyes. It can reflect any one of your eyes. Eddie Anwar, your eyes now. Can reflect any of the sister's eyes here on Annie's eye, on, Uni's spectacles. And reflect on it. So I can reflect on any one of you right now that shiny reflection. Correct? Now, when you fight with the devil and your enemy, your spirit, you become katop trinizomai. The devil comes at you. Remember when you look up the sky at a full moon? Does the moon have any light of its own? No. The moon is reflecting the light of the sun. And it's in the right position to reflect the light. Now, for the moon to reflect the light, the moon must be in a certain orbit, a certain position, before it can reflect the light. At other times, you don't have the full moon. So that means your position in Christ, and where you are in Christ, how you position, it's more your position of your heart and your mind in Christ. And when it's in the right position, you are like the moon, or like this little bright mirror, a mobile phone, that can reflect the light. So when the devil comes at you, you just become like a mirror, and you reflect the glory of God to the devil. And the devil looks at you and says, "Ah!" And he goes. How much fighting do you do? That's how the angels fight. Part of it is reflection. Part of it is refraction. The glory goes through them. And it comes out through them. It can be channeled in any direction you wish. And so all you have is to position your heart and your mind, and that you do by the five levels of meditation. And as your heart and your mind is tuned into God, it's a position of rest. Not a position of struggle. On a full moon, when you look up, do you find the moon groaning? No. And some of you are saying, "Pastor, my life is not that nice. I got all kinds of things." Well, have you considered that the moon has craters, polka dots, holes, and yet the moon can reflect so beautifully? Because the glory of God is strong enough, like the sun, to reflect it even from the sand, the soil, the meteorite holes of the moon, to make the bright light come forth. From whatever position your life is, God is able to do that. All you have to do is be in the right position to reflect. So there's not much effort. It is just absolute yieldedness. And so when you learn to do that, at first it might take you a while to position yourself to learn that place. But once you learn to position your spirit, whenever people want to do wrong thing at you, you just close your spirit to that and say you turn to Jesus in the right manner and you reflect His glory and you reflect it into that dark area. So, as far as your battle with demons, it is like using a light to chase cockroach. Whenever you switch on a light, the cockroach run to hide. And all we have to do is reflect. And there is no distance to extending. That's how you extend the will, by 2 Corinthians 3:18. So, I could, by an act and choice of my will, as I yield my life, I am yielding it also on behalf of my whole family and reflect the glory of God over them right now. Wherever they be on the planet Earth. There is no distance in the spirit. You could, as your head of your family or your assistant head of the family, which is the wife, or if you're a single parent, then you assume that position. You could reflect the glory over your loved ones, your family, over your family member, and you yield to it. That's all. That's the simple technique. Now you will have many questions. Because your next question is, okay, I understand that. How do I move myself like the moon? To that position. why so many questions? One answer come, another question. One answer come, another question. Okay, no. Just teasing you. For additional tips. How to position ourselves? We'll close with that tonight. How to position ourselves? Very simple. Remember, you have to receive light before you can give light. So 1 John 3 verse 1 is more important than we realize. And Ephesians chapter 3, the prayer is more important than we realize. Because the light of God is the life of God, is the love of God. You must develop the capacity to receive His love. Some of you say, I already received His love. Yes, but you haven't received more of His love. Ephesians chapter 3 is praying for more of His love. So you must mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and by your will, understand that God loves you. With your mind, you must know without a shadow of a doubt that He loves you. With your emotions, you must know without any doubt that He loves you. And as you absorb His love, 1 John 3 verse 1, behold what manner of love. The word behold is ideo, behold. To behold, to meditate, is one of those levels. As you meditate on the love of God, think about how much God loves you. If you cannot find any place to start, start at the cross. Start with Romans. He loved you while we were yet sinners. Did He love you because you did something right? No. He loved you when you were not doing anything right. Think about His unconditional love. A lot of people think about the love of God as a conditional love. All those are wrong. Meditate on how great His love is for you. And as you absorb how much He loves you, remember 1 John tells you, we love Him because He first loved us. And as you absorb His love, now in the spiritual world, life is transmitted and absorbed by love. And love is food of the spiritual world. And to a certain extent, it is on the earth too. Because if you're a person who have absorbed God's love or have been well loved, you will find you have a level of help greater than somebody who is not. So if you are not feeling the full help, or sometimes on some days you feel tired or down, take a few minutes to absorb God's love. Because in the spiritual realm, the food of the Spirit is love. If you absorb His love, you will find you're re-energized. You've just received an embrace from God. You just received a hug from God. When you receive that, that energy can be transmitted to your soul, which gets tired sometimes throughout the day. Your body, which gets sometimes tired because there's not enough sleep, or you're working hard, or something emotionally drains you. Now, when is the time you feel weakest? When you're rejected. And all your emotions feel rejection, anger, bitterness, well, all these symptoms. You lost love. You lost respect. See, all these things eat you up. And where you would take 10 volts to do a job, now you take 100 volts because 90 volts is leaking through your emotional injury because of the area where you feel rejection. If you could be totally healed and absorb God's love and understand that love is life, love, God is love, and meditate on that. Every day in the morning, their first thought, God loves me. Middle of the day thought, God loves me. For God so loved me. End of the day, your last thought, God loves me. Now, sometimes we are so drained out that we need to absorb quite a lot before we can reflect. Because why? So much darkness. And part of it is not reflection. Why? The mirror is cracked. Need to be healed first. No problem. God doesn't run out of a supply of love. So you, as you absorb it, the mirror gets mended back. All the cracks in your broken heart, all the cracks in your broken mind, all the cracks in your life. Think about it. The people of the world keep hurting. Think about every one of you where you are. You have experienced hurt from people. You experienced hurt and betrayal. You have lost love from people you thought they love you. You know? Thank God there are people still who love you. But your friends, your companions, from childhood friends till now as an adult, whatever age you're in right now, and those hearing this message wherever you are, think about that. All your rejection, all those are compounding, all those are love being rejected and turned away. And you have to get all that love. Don't look to humans to get that. Thank God for humans and your loved ones who give you that. But your main source, Jesus and God. You absorb it and you absorb it, and I can guarantee you, as you absorb it, one day you're so full, you begin to radiate His love. And we love Him because He first loved us. Then you can go to the part where you can love others. Some of you find it hard to love your loved ones. Why? Because you have never been loved. Some of you may find it easier because people have loved you. But the most important love is God's love to you. Understand this. Your capacity to love another person is limited by your capacity to have been loved. So if you have been thoroughly loved by God, it's easy to love. And you've got more than enough love to give. And as you give, and here's how you project your will. It's not that you struggle by your willpower. By your willpower, you go, and then project. No. It's just relaxing in the arms of God. Of all the 12 disciples that Jesus had, one of them had the audacity of love to call himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, all of them were loved by Jesus, but only one of them was bold enough to say, Jesus loves me. And he dared to come to Jesus openly because he knew Jesus loved him. And when you understand how much God loves you and receive, and you're just resting in His love, you're able to give out love. Then, in the picture of page 21, do you know all the love we receive comes down all the way the source is from God? So what happens in the spiritual world that the highest group that's closest to God receive God's love easiest and closest? And the love of God and light of God flows through them, through there, through them, through here, through them, through here, through them, through here, through them, through here. It's all a transmission of God's love. All of heaven, if you remove love, there's no more heaven. Love is the language of heaven. And all the love, when an angel appears right now, let's say, what will you feel? Light, love, and glory. Where did he get that from? From God. He could have got that reflected from his superior. And his superior got it from a superior angel. All the way down. So when we talk about cell groups and discipleships, you know what the real key is? Sharing love. As the pastor loved the sheep, the head sheep, the headship loved the smaller, little heady sheep. And then they love. So as the love flows down, everybody feels love. And that's the way in the spiritual world everyone is transmitted. And one thing about the spiritual world, everyone is taken care by somebody else, and everyone is taking care of somebody else. When we all get in the spiritual world, you know, it doesn't mean, oh, you got all the free time in the world just sightseeing, yeah, or playing harps floating on clouds. Amazing grace, 10,000 years. No. You will be assigned people to take care of below you spiritually. And others will be assigned above you to take care of you personally. Everyone is followed up by somebody else. And part of your spiritual growth is your ability to help somebody else. And I believe that's happening on this earth too. You cannot organize it and force people here and there, but the water will find its own place. Everyone will find their own place. And God will place people in your heart to love, to take care of. And God will place somebody else to love you and take care of. But most important, every one of us learn how to draw the love of God to ourselves. And so when I project my shield over my children, I extend them through my love for them. And cover them with my love. And by my will, I decide to see a shield about them. It's a rest, not an effort. It's all that is done through the reflection of love that God has. Because perfect love casts out fear. So when you face the devil, you face him not with willpower. You have absorbed so much of love. The devil is the opposite of love. So when he sees the opposite of himself, he's very frightened. Your very presence frightens him. And the next time you see in the vision or spiritual realm, some demonic realm, all you have to do, think about God's love. Don't think about that. Think about God's love, how much He loves you, and how much you love Him. And then you project the atmosphere of His love. It's a powerful force. The force of love. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. We ask, O God, that You teach us this dimension of Your spiritual world. Help us to understand, O Lord, all the blessings and all the grace that You establish upon our lives. Cause us, O Lord, to know You. Father, we have done our best we can with the little time we have to teach us to open ourselves to the spirit world, the spirit realm. And we ask, O God, that You teach us to meditate upon You, to grow in love for You, that the spiritual world will be one that we easily flow into. We thank You, Father. Establish Your grace, Your favor, Your peace upon each one of our lives. Thank You in Jesus' name. We praise You, Lord. We thank You. We thank You, Jesus. We praise You. We worship You. We worship You. We praise You. Thank You, Father. We thank You. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your touch. Thank You for Your blessings in each life. Even right where you are sitting, the presence of God's love is so strong, it's healing and touching some of you. The sister in the second row being touched of, in the middle section being touched of a pain in your lower back. Right now, His love is just flowing through you. God touching, healing. A brother on the right side, in the center section, you have a pain every time you raise your right hand. God's touching that too. We thank You. We love You. We praise You. We worship You, O God. And we thank You for your mercy and grace upon each one of our lives. We ask, O God, that you establish grace and favor upon us. And Father, we just ask that right now your angels will minister to our lives right now. Let's all rise for a moment before Him. And just close your eyes and lift up your hands wherever you are. The angels of God standing in our midst with gifts ready to pour upon our lives of His ministry even upon our lives. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your angelic presence here. Angels with gifts coming from the throne of God bearing gifts of His Spirit. And we pray, O God, yes, right now, touching a sister over on this section here, in the middle area, to my left, also, God touching that. Also, stomach problem on the left side, here. We thank you. God is touching, healing your physical bodies. And for some of you right now, God is touching your spirit, uniting Him with you. We thank you, Father. We praise you. Just allow the Spirit for a moment to finish His work. Just a few moments more as He ministers heart to heart. And all you have to do is meditate on God's love and how much He loves you. And just to love Him back with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. We thank you, Father, for touching, healing. Yes, a breathing problem just being touched on my right side. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Praise you. Worship you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. Just a few more moments because the angels of God are standing in front of some of you. They just not finished their work yet. I'm just waiting for them to finish their work. Impart, Lord, into your people right now. Impart that wonderful presence. Thank you, Father. Let's just sing softly the song, Praise the Name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus, praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, He's my fortress, He's my deliverer, in Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress, He's my deliverer, in Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Seal it, Lord, upon this life. Seal it, Lord, upon this life. Receive His anointing. Receive in Jesus' name His power. Receive in Jesus' name His impartation. Receive in Jesus' name the deposit of His Spirit. Receive in Jesus' name the blessing that the Lord has for you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.